Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world. Welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. I hope you guys are doing good out there. I know I said that there may not be an episode this week, but there is. Heyo! I keep surprising myself with people that I know. It's amazing. So we're about 12 days out from the election. But, you know, I read a tweet today and I want to give you the gist of it because I can't find the actual tweet. That we're not 12 days away from the election. We're 12 days away from the end of the election. Everyone's already out there voting. Well, everyone I know. I know a lot of people are. I think this must be historic because I've certainly never seen this. Yes, I'm young, but this is my third presidential election that I've voted in, and I've certainly never seen people showing up in the way that they are this time around. Just shows how important it is for you guys to get out there and vote. If you don't have a plan, make a plan. It is easy. I know in California, we've had some problems with unofficial drop boxes being put in places illegally. But guys, if you're going to go to a ballot drop box, the paper is in with your ballot. And it tells you exactly where those drop boxes are. Look for the official ones. Don't just like be walking down the street. Also, who's walking down the street with the ballot in their hand and see something with a paper that's literally taped on like a tiny little box that says official ballot drop box and puts it in there? Come on, guys. Let's not be dumb. Let's be smart about this. Make sure that you're signed up for whatever ballot tracking is in your state. That's super important too. That way you know exactly when your ballot gets counted. They tell you it's amazing. It feels great. You know that you're safe, that your ballot's safe. Guys, it's just so important. And I'm really proud of everybody that I know who's out there doing this. Also, if your county still needs it, check in with your county. See if you can be a poll worker. Help out. You know, it's normally our senior citizens who are doing it. So if you're able to do that, if you feel safe, if you are healthy, please try to help your community. I actually applied and I got denied. I don't know how that works. I think my county doesn't have room for poll workers anymore. It was like an assistant counter, and because I hadn't had any experience in government work, they were like, no, sir. See you later. Yeah. Anyway, that's my soapbox. So do it. Vote. Thanks. Today on the show, we have my friend Keith Powell. You know him best as Twofer from 30 Rock. He has a brand new show called Connecting on NBC. The guy's brilliant. He's amazing. He's just truly one of those dudes that I'm extremely lucky to know. And I'm stoked for you guys to listen to this conversation. So here's my conversation with Keith Powell. All right. Welcome to Keith.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. My child is running around in the background screaming her head off because she really needs a nap and she won't do it.
And, oh, no.
I'm drinking tea. It's great. It's great time.
You're drinking some tea. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How old is your little girl now?
She is a year and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's now in the place where she can say, like, she gets really excited to say, like, a word because she knows what the word means. So, so for instance, now everything that comes in front of her, she goes, hot, 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 hot. As if it's, like, hot food. And then, I put a bowl of yogurt in front of her, like, yesterday. And she went, hot, 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 hot. I was like, yogurt's not hot.
No, you are wrong. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, my gosh. Kids are funny.
In the best way. She's a terror. She's a terror.
But I was that way, too. She's going to be super charismatic.
That's the thing. I'm cool with that. I was a terror. Yeah. Charisma's good. Good for that.
Christmas, great. I feel like all actors when they were children were just probably the worst children to deal with.
Perhaps. That's what, I mean, though it's interesting because I met Robert De Niro, who was probably the sweetest child because he is like an aggressive introvert. Like he is
really
so introverted and mild-mannered in a way that is like shocking.
Yeah.
And like he can't look you in the eye. It's almost Asperger's-y. Like he can't look you in the eye, and he's very quiet and very withdrawn. And I was like, is this like Jake LaMotta? What is happening here?
That would throw me off so bad. I feel like if I ever met Robert De Niro, I would just like expect him to be like, oh, fuck off. Like, fuck you. Like, right. Like you know, just right. Like,
no, he total is gangster very style. Polite. He is very polite and very quiet. And it's weird. So I'm like, well, not all actors are extroverts.
Not all of them. There are some. I wasn't like Heath Ledger that way, too, as well. Like, just
that's
super introverted.
Yeah, that's the word on the street is that he was super introverted.
Before we start talking about all of the fun things that you've done in your life, because you have so many awesome things that you've been a part of, I want to talk about that petition, that letter that you signed to NBC last week, which I thought was just super badass.
Thank you.
So freaking needed. I saw that and I was like, damn, bow down.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing where most of my income as an actor has been from NBC.
Yeah.
And so there is his, you know, I've done three shows with them now. Mm. And I kind of feel like if your employees can't speak up and say you're doing something wrong, then you shouldn't be operating. Like I need the freedom to say when you're doing something wrong. And that's where we are in this country, right? Like the most patriotic people in this country are the ones who are saying there is something seriously wrong here.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's true. It's true. The people who truly love this country and are fighting for it are the ones who are saying, hey, guys, we're messing up.
Exactly. And I think that NBC truly messed up. And I am very glad that Savannah Guthrie.
That was beautiful.
Went after him.
It was beautiful.
The way that she did. Because I kind of felt like NBC has really kind of been shit in the bed. I don't know if we can cuss on this.
Yeah, you can. Like, you're good.
But, you know, like shit in the bed on it. And so I had to say something. They've done right in many ways, but they were doing, it was, I think it was a blow to democracy.
Well, it's a shame that people on the East Coast had to sit there and go back and forth between town halls.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that shouldn't have been happening. And that's why we have the commission and why it should have been done the right way to begin with. But the fact that it did end up like that was super frustrating.
But what was really, like, what the thing that frustrated me the most, that just made me furious, was Trump pulled out of a debate commission because he didn't want to play by the rules.
Right.
And NBC rewarded that behavior.
Yeah.
And it's not so much of, okay, great, then you don't get an audience for your fucking bile. It's no, here, go and make it so that everyone has to decide what audience they want to be a part of. And I'm so glad that Biden beat him in the ratings. I'm actually glad people did not watch NBC that hour.
Yeah. Well, and you and your castmates for your new show Connecting, you all were posting about, you know, don't tune into Trump, but tune into the show afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I loved. I loved that campaign that you guys did.
Well, you know, honestly, of course, the thing of it is that I want people to see our show because our show is everything that this country, I believe, needs right now, which is connection and humanity and love and acceptance and community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to say so loudly, Trump is doing is all the things that we are against, and we need to kind of rally around the fact and show him he's wrong and show that what we do is right.
Mm-hmm.
It actually turned out that way. We got a big rating boost.
That's amazing.
From it, we doubled our audience from the pilot.
Wow.
In our episode, the third episode of our show, which aired that night.
Yeah, I watched it this morning. I caught up on it.
Oh my God. It's such a beautiful episode.
Mm-hmm.
It ends so beautifully. Beautifully, maybe that's not the right word, but
it was jarring.
Takes your breath away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes your breath away. And I selfishly wanted America to see that.
And I get that. I think the show that you're doing right now, Connecting, which is on NBC for everybody listening, it's so well done, first off. It's amazing that you guys are able to shoot this in your homes with the kits that you're given. And I want to get into more of that, too. But, you know, that first episode, that first episode was amazing because you're sitting there watching this cute comedy and you're like, oh, this is adorable. And then the nurse comes on. And all of a sudden you're like, oh,
he's a doctor.
A doctor. The doctor comes on and and you're just like, holy shit. Like, this is real. This is good. And it was just this beautiful moment of like, here's reality. Let's deal with it.
Yeah, I really. Yes. And that's what I kind of like. I think the entire show is that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not formulaic in the way of, oh, it's a light little show and then there's a hit of reality at the end. Every episode has its own shape. But what I love about doing this show and what attracted me to doing this show was just how honest it wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, not a lot of people know, I stopped auditioning. I don't audition anymore.
Really?
And
So how did this come about then?
Well, I did a web series called Keith Broke His Leg.
Yeah.
And we were developing it into a series. Mm. And one of the people who was helping me develop it into a television series went on to Connecting and became a producer on Connecting.
Oh.
And when she read the script, she's like, I know this couple. I know these people. And so she called me and said, would you like to do this show? And I was like, I now only for the past couple years, I've been privileged enough to be in a position to only take acting roles when I need health insurance.
That's why you did my movie. I knew there was a reason.
Yes. And so I was like, I don't know. And she's like, you know, it's a chance to do it with your wife. And I read the script and I was so blown away by its honesty.
Yeah.
And I was like, I must do this. I must do this job.
Mm. I loved in the pilot when you were actually making the pasta, because don't you actually make homemade pasta?
Every week. Today, I'm going to make every Sunday, I make homemade pasta.
I love that.
And yeah, you know, and we did a like a social distance party of the cast where the whole cast met each other for the first time in our backyard. And this is like 2 weeks ago, like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was like, I'm making pasta for everybody because like that's what I'm supposed to do, right?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you have to make pasta. I'm a bread maker myself.
Oh my God, I love bread. I mean, I'm not good at making bread, so you're gonna have to give me some tips.
I'll bring you a loaf. I'll bring you and Jill a loaf.
Okay.
So tell me, how did you get into all of this? Because your list of credits and everything is so extensive. And I read that you went to Tisch. Is that where you kind of fell into acting, or where you discovered that you liked it? Or how did it all come about for you?
Yeah. I think it was just going to NYU. I went to NYU for acting, and my mother is an accountant, and she wanted me to do something practical.
Of course.
much to my mother's credit, she let me do the thing that I wanted to do. All of my friends and all of my mother's friends' children were going to college, and they were all telling her, don't send your child to the most expensive school in the country for acting.
Yeah.
Bad move. And my mother said, you know, I want him to do the thing that he loves to do. And I said,
Mom.
What I love to do is acting. And so I and she's like, but please, please take like an accounting class or something. Fall back on it. And I was like, yeah, Mom, totally. That was our deal. Our deal was that I would take like an accounting class my freshman, the years, so I'd have something to fall back on while I was at college.
I love that.
I never took an accounting class in my life. And I had no intentions of honoring that system. Or that deal. And acting school was so intense anyway. Mm. I started as a double major. I started majoring in film and theater.
Okay.
And both were so strenuous.
Yeah. Those programs are tough.
That I chose theater. And then I chose theater, and then I chose theater directing. So I actually got my degree in directing.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
I graduated. I started working the year before I graduated as an actor. I started getting cast in commercials.
Okay.
A Wendy's commercial. I booked when I was 20. And
You got to love those fast food commercials, just eating a crap ton of chicken nuggets nonstop.
It was great. It was great. What was the dude? Dave Thomas. It was one of his last commercials. He was the owner of Wendy's, was appearing in all the commercials at the time.
What?
And he, frankly, was an old racist man.
Oh, God.
That they kind of just wheeled out to say his line, and then they wheeled him away. And Dave Thomas called me a darkie. He called me a
darkie. No.
Yeah. And I was just like, I don't care. I'm getting paid. I'm 20. I'm getting paid. Right. You flew me to Florida. I think he was in Florida. You flew me to Florida. I'm on like a vacation. I'm cool. And
oh my God.
And that was one of his last commercials. That's beginning of intense. My career. Yeah.
That's really intense. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's wild, dude. What a story that you have there. Jesus Christ.
It was weird.
It had to have been.
You also have to remember, I was going to school to be a director.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't care. I don't care what you call me. I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid money, and you're going to die soon. And now, of course, that was not, like, I wasn't wishing him dead. And of course, he died soon. But
right.
Like, but it was, I was one of those, you know, I have this feeling, and just in, like, my, you know, old racists are very inconsequential to me, because I go, you represent something that isn't going to last very long. So I'm not going to listen to you. So young racists are the people that I say something to.
That's a good point, though, because a lot of the old racists are ones that grew up during, you know, or lived during the 50s and 60s that were, you know, in their adult years then. And
yeah,
during the, it makes sense, your way of thinking.
I mean, I don't know if it's a bad thing or a good thing. I could get in trouble for saying it, I guess, but I don't have a problem with it. But just because, like, I mean, you know, anyway, Dave Thomas called me a darkie, and I was just like, sure, where do I stand? What do I do?
Where's my money? Thank
Where's
you.
Where's my money?
Can I leave now?
And they paid me handsomely for it, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, that was when commercials were paying good.
Yeah.
That's when you could live off of commercials.
Well, that's how my career started, in a way, just because doing that job allowed me, when I graduated NYU, to keep auditioning and not have to find a job.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
So when you graduated then, did you start auditioning immediately? Did you try to find directing gigs? Did you just go straight to acting though?
Somebody told me when I was graduating from NYU that all the young hot directors are in their 50s.
So, where's the lie?
Right, exactly. So I just decided to, you know, because I had a manager, I didn't have an agent, I had a manager at the time. I just decided to keep acting, and I kind of always fell into acting jobs. Like my first acting job outside of NYU, I missed my last week of NYU where everybody was taking finals because what? I needed to do, I did a play up in Maine where I got my equity card.
Oh.
And so like I always just kind of fell into acting jobs. And I mean, you know, that didn't happen for me later on in my career, but at the beginning of my career, I just kind of fell into it. So I was like, well, I'll just follow this until I turn 50 and I'll be a young, hot director, you know? And I mean, it didn't quite work out that way, but you know, I was always in a place where I could just, the pathway opened for me. And
right.
This is at the very beginning of my career. And so I was just like, all right, I'll do this until I burn out or it stops or, you know, just because really all I want to be is a director anyway. So, I mean,
wow,
fuck this acting thing. I guess I'll try it for a while.
What the fuck is this? I don't know.
Exactly.
Whatever. That's amazing. Yeah. You know, but it works that way, especially in this industry. It's like once you get that ball rolling, it's just going.
Well, that's the thing. So many young actors have this feeling that they can control their career, that there is some level of control over your work as an actor, and the reality is there absolutely isn't.
It's so wrong, yeah. Just so wrong.
There is no control. Unfortunately, a lot of your life, a lot of becoming an adult, is about releasing control.
Yeah. It's true.
Just be what it is. Yeah.
I've definitely gotten there in the last few years. You know, I'm in my late 20s now and I've been doing this since I was 8. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, I've gotten to that point where I've realized, yo, you got to let go. You got to just let things do what they're going to do. And at this point in my career, I honestly just want to like Alice and Janney this shit and just get big when I'm like 40. You know,
I'm
like, let's skip past the stupid like little sexy roles and the cute little college girl shit. Okay, let's just get me in the White House when I'm 40.
Yeah, you'll just be in the White House and dominate.
Yeah,
but that's the thing where like I really kind of feel like when I start, every time I get a job, it's out of my grasp. Like it's all based on things that happened. I never turn down an opportunity. So I always try to take advantage of any opportunity that comes my way. Mm-hmm. But it's never been, and you know, something that I learned really, really when I turned 40, I'm 41. So something I learned last year was every success that I've ever had in my life has always been a result of me working hard to get it. And every failure I've ever had has always been a result of me fighting hard to get it. And so much of life is about figuring out what the difference is between working hard and fighting hard. Because fighting hard gets you nowhere and depletes your energy. Mm-hmm. And basically, you're just fighting. And, you know, every time I fought for a job, I fought to get it. I'm going to call this person because I know that guy. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to fight to do, you know, I'm going to fight to get this. Or fight to have him get me into the room and get me. I never got it. But every time I went, all right, well, I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to learn the lines. I'm going to, you know, practice it 20 times. I'm going to work hard at it. Mm-hmm. I've always found success.
And it makes sense because you're not putting all of that stress and energy into like fighting for something out of your control. You're putting all of your energy into what you can control, which is giving your best performance.
Exactly.
And knowing it inside and out.
So yeah, so like careers are like basically it's a career is just like rolling with the punches.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's true. It is. It's rolling with the punches. Which brings me to 30 Rock, because I actually watched 30 Rock after I had already met you. I hadn't seen it. I think I was like in that weird age where it wasn't my show yet. But then I watched it. I'm like, oh my God, that's Keith. That's crazy. What was that experience like? Like, how did you land on that show? Were you still living in New York? Was it right after college?
It's a funny story of what happened with me getting onto 30 Rock. I ran a theater company in Wilmington, Delaware, or I was an artistic director, and we had met with a tremendous amount of success early on because the very first play that I produced starred a woman named Lynn Redgrave. And Lynn Redgrave is like an acting legend. She's nominated and has won all these Oscars and Tonys and Emmys. You know, she passed away from cancer, but she was the beginning of my, you know, I was 23 years old and I produced a play with her starring in it.
Wow.
And so first of all, watching her in rehearsal was a masterclass.
Yeah. It would have,
You know, and there was a play that I had directed that had a tremendous amount of success at my theater company in Delaware. Mm-hmm. It was going to go on a national tour.
Wow.
A play starring Keith David and Jasmine Guy, two beautiful, brilliant actors who are, you know, major players today. Mm-hmm. And it was about to go on a national tour. And spoiler alert, it never happened. But I didn't know that at the time. And I needed to fire my set designer. And I had never fired a set designer before in my life.
Firing people is scary.
It's really scary. And I was 26. And 26 years old, and I didn't know what to do. I had moved to Los Angeles. Because I was like, I'm gonna like, you know, well, I was chasing a girl, just to be honest with you. And you know, spoiler alert, that didn't work out either. But I had come home for the holidays, back to New York City to, you know, prepare for this play. That was about to go on tour, and I needed to fire the set designer. And so I wrote a it's not you, it's me letter.
Of course.
And I gave it, hand delivered it to his agent because I couldn't find him.
Oh my God.
And his agent was like, that's really funny because I can't find him either. What are you doing now? And I said, I don't know. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to rough it out in California as an actor until I...
until you're 50 director. And you can become a director.
I was like, I'm going to rough it out in California until I have to direct this play. Mm. And he said, well, while you're in New York, why don't you, you know, for the 3 months that you're here over the Christmas break, why don't you audition for, a couple things with us. We'll send you out. And I was like, fine, great, sure. The first and only thing he sent me out on was 30 Rock.
Wow.
And
talk about fate.
And then I never turned in my plane ticket to go to fly back to LA. I stayed in New York to do 30 Rock.
That's just so wild.
And I was 26 years old. We didn't think it was going to last, you know, because Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, which was an Aaron Sorkin show, had a similar premise and was also piloted that year.
Oh, wow.
And so those two shows were seen as competing against each other and only one of them would survive. Mm. And BC picked up both shows and put all of its attention onto Studio 60 and left us alone. And then Studio 60 failed. and by that point in time, 30 Rock became this weird zany show. Because if you watch the show from the beginning of 30 Rock, you see that it is noted to death. It is like the network noted it to death. Mm. And so it doesn't make any sense. Like, the show just actually doesn't make any sense. And then slowly, as you see the show progress, you see that the network stopped giving notes.
Mm.
And we were left to our own devices. And the show became this crazy, zany,
yeah,
you know, wonderful show.
That's when the magic happened. That's such a fun show. It's so cool. And I can't even imagine working with like Tina Fey every day. I think I would just lose it.
It was great. I mean, you know, like Tina Fey wasn't Tina Fey back then. I mean,
yeah,
she was Tina Fey, you know, she wrote Mean Girls. No, Mean Girls wasn't like, Mean Girls was a solid hit,
but right,
it wasn't like the cultural phenomenon that it became.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
She was like, you know, this really smart writer who was leaving Saturday Night Live. And oh my God, is she going to survive outside of Saturday Night Live?
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Oh my God.
There was a lot of fear around that first few seasons of 30 Rock.
Really? Did you, well, you thought we were going to get canceled?
Yeah. We thought we were going to get canceled. Nobody was watching it.
Oh my gosh.
You know, the president of the network at the time said, he publicly said he didn't like the show. So like, all of us were like, oh, well, any second now we're going to get canceled.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And Tina wasn't a hit. Like, nobody knew who Tina Fey was. And then somewhere around Sarah Palin, somewhere around Tina doing Sarah Palin impression. I think that was our season 3.
That makes sense. That exploded, you guys.
That we exploded, and then we all felt a little bit more comfortable. But by around season 3, we all hated each other. So I mean, you know.
That's not
true. I love my
guy. I was gonna say, geez. What's the drama?
No. There's no drama. I love them all. I'm still very close to them all, and
that's good.
They're my family. I love them.
Well, I mean, I could talk to you all day about all the amazing things you've done. Newsroom is one of my favorite things. You directed Superstore, which is freaking awesome. Yeah. But we've come to the point of the show where I ask my guests to tell either a bad audition story or a role that they almost got. Do you have a story that you would like to share with us?
Well, I knew that you were going to ask me this question. And so at first, I do have a story. Or just mm-hmm. a small anecdote, but when I knew you were going to ask this question, I kept saying to myself, my philosophy on auditioning is to let it go. Mm. So once you audition for it, you leave it out into the world and never think about it again, and mm-hmm. just let it go, or else you'll go insane, right? Mm.
Yeah, I've done that a few times.
Yeah, that's why I've gotten to this point where I've gone. I just need to every audition I've ever done, just let it go. Hmm. And so I was just like, I don't really have a one that got away story. And then, I just got another job where I'll be recurring on a major television show, a major
exciting
winning TV show.
Ooh, congrats.
You'll be able to connect the dots once I tell you this story.
Okay.
So I got this job and I wanted to watch an interview where the lead actor of this show was on. And the lead actor of the show talked about auditioning for The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
And I auditioned for that show. And I auditioned for the Christopher Darden role.
Mm.
And I very much remember, and I didn't get it, obviously. Mm. I very much remember asking my manager, should I go bald for this role? Like, should I shave my head like Christopher Darden did?
Mm.
And put on glasses? And my manager said, no, save that for the callback.
Oh.
And so I went in and I auditioned for the Christopher Darden role with my full hair. And I walked into the room and every single other person in that room was bald. I was like, damn it. And watching the actor who got the part have this interview saying that when he got the audition for this Christopher Darden role, he immediately shaved his head.
You're like, damn it. should have shaved my head.
So that was it. That's one of the things where I'm just like, would I have gotten that part if I'd shaved my head? Of course I wouldn't have, but you know, it's fun to think about.
It is fun to think about. Oh my God.
Damn it.
Would you have shaved your head? If your manager said literally, yes, would you have done it?
100% would have done it.
Really?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I have short hair anyway. I mean, during the pandemic, my hair is, I have an afro, but like, you know, I keep my hair short anyway. So me shaving my head meant 2 weeks for it to go back to the way that it always was anyway.
Right.
So, you know, it wasn't that big here. But, you know, but also I couldn't do a Christopher Darden impression. So that's a major part of the story.
So it wasn't going to happen anyway.
It was not going to happen. But,
that's amazing.
And you know, and the person who got that part went on to win the Emmy for playing Christopher Darden.
Who's good.
Went on to win many other Emmys for other things.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me. It's so nice to catch up with friends in the middle of a pandemic.
Yes.
Where can people follow you on social media?
On Instagram, I am by Keith Powell. So, you know, B-Y Powell. And then on Twitter, I'm Keith Powell. And I think Facebook is like real Keith Powell or something. I started that Facebook, my Facebook page like a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I don't remember exactly. I think it's real Keith Powell.
I think mine is like official. It's like, yeah. Why did I need to have the official in there? Did I think that was going to do anything?
Right. Exactly. It's like, what is this helping?
Who is this helping? So excited to see the rest of the season of Connecting. It is so freaking good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Love it.
I'm so proud of it. And the episodes get better and better as the weeks progress. And it's just, I think it's a beautiful show. So
it's wonderful. I hope you guys get picked up for a second season. I hope that it stays on for a long time because it is good stuff. Everybody make sure to watch that Thursday nights, NBC, 8 p.m. Thank you again. It's good to talk to you. And I hope you and Jill have a good pasta day.
We will. We will. Today is my cheat day. I'm doing it.
Cheat day. All right. Thanks so much, Keith.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks again to Keith for coming on the show and talking with me. Make sure you're tuning into his show Connecting on NBC Thursday nights at 8 p.m. The show is really something special, and everybody should be watching it because it's really, 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 really good. Tune in next week to hear my conversation with a very good friend of mine. I'm not going to tell you who it is because this one's a dope episode, and well, I just want the suspense to be there. So tune in next week. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it now. You can also follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. And make sure you're going out and getting that vote out, y'all. Go do it. Get the vote out. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. Talk to a stranger on the street. I don't give a crap who you talk to. Just talk to everybody. Everyone. Go vote. It's important. And I'll see you next week. As always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.